Hello, nerds, friends, fans, and gamers. Welcome to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Trevor Cooper, and joining me today, we have one Shannon McCormick. Shannon, good morning.
Hey, how are you? How's it going?
Doing very well, doing very well. So for our listeners today, they have probably heard your voice before, but maybe they don't even realize it because you have done quite the list of nerd favorite properties. If I remember correctly, and you'll have to forgive me because I've been a Rooster Teeth fan for over 15 years, so I have to get the chronology in order.
Right, okay.
You did Agent Washington in Red versus Blue first, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, that was season 6 of the show.
Yes.
And then you went on to play, you're still doing Washington, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Or rather, just wrapped up, as I heard that maybe it's the last season?
You know, there are always like, we're going to be done, or this is it. I don't know when this interview airs, but by the time people listen to it, I am recording, I'm recording the next season of RVB, starting Monday. So,
oh, awesome.
So whatever season it is, I guess it's 17.
Season
17, I will be I'll be in the booth on Monday doing some stuff. So,
oh, wow. That's awesome. So, yeah, I know I've been, you know, following the show since, gosh, it was before season 2 had come out, and season 1 was making the rounds on Winamp, of all things.
Oh, man. That's a piece of software I haven't thought about in a long time. Oh, my
right?
God.
I'm showing my age a little bit there, but.
No worries.
Yeah, So longtime fan of the show and specifically fan of Red versus Blue, fan of Halo. The season 6 reconstruction is actually when it really picked up for me because it kind of steered away from a comedy series and became a little bit more about the action and drama, which is kind of where we see the show now, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like Red versus Blue is like kind of on its, currently on its fourth round. You know, there was the first 5 seasons, which is pure comedy, and then seasons
right.
6 through 10, which is the sort of focus on the freelancers, and it's got a lot more action. There's like an action component, action drama component to it. Then you have when Miles takes over, starting with season 11, and it's a lot more, you know, it's the chorus arc, and you get a bunch of new characters. And then season 14, which is its own beast, which was the anthology. And then 15, 16, and soon to be 17 are like, I don't even know what they are, man. They're getting into like some trippy time travel and all that kind of stuff. So. I was excited to come on when I did, and the fact that Wash has been around forever is really fantastic.
Awesome. And then so from Red versus Blue, I guess, a little ways into kind of your tenure with Rooster Teeth, you took a shot on this show, that was this little one trailer that, Monty Ohm did. And they thought, maybe this will work, maybe it doesn't. If not, if we make him happy, he'll keep working for us on Red versus Blue. And that was a little show called Ruby.
Yeah,
you were Professor Ozpin, right?
That is correct.
So what was that like? Because Ruby now almost, I don't want to say outshines or overshadows Red versus Blue, but it's almost more internationally known than I would say just about any project that Rooster Teeth currently does.
Yeah. It's cool. It's got a fan base that has really expanded it's interesting. It's expanded the Rooster Teeth fandom and fan base. But then I think there's also a lot of people who that's the only piece of Rooster Teeth content that they watch. They're into Ruby because they're anime people and they like anime. And that's like a whole larger, you know, world of pop culture that, you know, that Rooster Teeth has been able to plug into. So yeah, I have like, I'll get notifications every once in a while. People are talking about me in like Japan or Korea. And I don't think there's any other Rooster Teeth properties or shows that have that kind of reach. So that's, you know, that's super exciting. It's a little weird right now because I'm kind of dead, but I'm also kind of not. So, yeah, you know, spoilers if you haven't made it past season three, but considering that we're in six right now, hopefully people have caught up. Yeah. So like I'm, you know, my soul and voice are in the body of a younger man right now. And, if that's a little,
if we could all be so lucky.
Right. Right. Exactly. I don't know if I'd go as young as 14, but yeah.
Yeah. That whole voice change period. That's a rough time for anyone.
It's like, the whole thing is a little weird. And then you have like a voice of an old man, old immortal soul in your head. It's a little weird.
Right. So you're kind of the Mr. Miyagi for Oscar's character in the current season.
Yes. If Ralph Macchio's character was possessed by Mr. Miyagi.
Right.
Yes. Exactly. It's like a cross of Karate Kid and, I don't know, the Body Snatchers or something like that.
Oh, there you go. So I have a couple of questions for you here.
Okay.
So, of course, Red versus Blue. I know it seems it's almost transitioned a little bit more into a computer generated animation now, and maybe not as heavy on the machinima, but originally was completely animated with the video game Halo from Bungie.
Right. Yep.
Versus like a Ruby, which is more like just straight animation. Have you noticed any differences or certain difficulties in voicing characters in these different mediums?
It's a good question, but no, not at all. And a lot of that has to do with where we record in the process. We record long before the sequences are done. So they're, you know, they're storyboarded. They know what, you know, they know what's going to happen. They kind of know like the shots and the looks that they're going for, and you know, the position of the characters and things like that. But it does, the job of making it come to life once we have the voice tracks laid down and they're, you know, the animators of whatever medium are trying to, you know, make it come to life in sync with our voices, it's really more on them, and it doesn't alter the way, you know, the way we deliver lines or anything like that. It's, you know, it's a weird, it's all about the process. So we, you know, we come in and we record fairly early in the process. Every once in a while, we'll need to do pickup lines for scenes that are basically already animated, but that's the exception and not the normal case. Where things are different, in the recording booth is when, like, if you're doing an anime dub, where you have to be super duper, you have to match the mouth flaps and the length of time that were in the Japanese original. So that's like where things can get, where like recording differs between environments. So anime dubs are a little bit different than just like a free form, like, hey, do some lines, because there's a lot more parameters. And then doing video games, because I've done some video game voice work, is a little bit different too, because a lot of what you're doing is, because the characters are being controlled by the players or the circumstances under which the players interact with the characters that you voice, you have to do lots of different variations and lots of different scenarios that they may encounter you. So here's the happy one, here's the angry one, here's the one where he just punched you, and you know, all of this. And so you do a whole bunch of lines with no context. It's like, what's happening here? In a way that the easiest is what we do for Ruby, Red versus Blue, where it's just like, bring it to life with your voice, do your best acting and go from there.
Okay. So they kind of have the voice first and then the vision second.
Yeah, well, yeah, the voice is recorded first, and the style of animation doesn't influence how we deliver the lines really at all. You guys both in El Paso?
Actually, we're in Las Cruces, which is just north of El Paso.
Dude, I got my master's in Las Cruces. I know right where it is.
NMSU?
Yeah, I went to NMSU from...
Go Aggies. Did you really?
98 to 2000. Yeah, man. I lived on Hadley, like not too far from downtown, you know, or like the little town square. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you'll have to come visit during the con if you have time, spare time. Run back.
Yeah, man, come up there. Like I'll go, like go to. So I don't know what's good anymore. I used to love going to Nelly's.
Nelly's still awesome.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Nelly's
still good.
Nelly's is great. We used to go to. We used to go down to Chope's down in.
La Mesa.
La Mesa, yeah. Holy cow, man, dude. Yeah. And so I've lived in Texas for 18 years, but New Mexican food's so much better.
Agreed.
Yeah. Like you can't get a good chili relleno in Texas, man. Maybe in El Paso, but like certainly not in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, if you have time, you have to come up and check out our, I own a comic book store here in Las Cruces too. So you have to come up.
Oh, for real? Zia Comics. Is that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so funny. I wondered about that. I was like, that's the New Mexico flag. Okay, there we go. Now it makes sense. You guys are based in New Mexico.
So with recent events in Ruby, or I guess somewhat recent, it's been a few volumes ago now, I've kind of heard Oz compared to almost the Darth Maul or Yoda of Ruby, where you have this awesome character that there's a lot of buildup for an excitement and he kind of gets his one moment and you kind of get to see it and then he's gone. How did that feel as a voice actor for you?
So it's weird. Cause like that was like it was never necessarily like the plan or like they kind of stumbled upon it as they were going. So that's one of those ones where it's like, oh, so, okay, I got to do this thing. And then it's like, yeah, then I'm off in this other situation. So, you know, it's okay. I wish I was on the show a little more, which is weird considering that I'm still doing it and still in it, but like it's like my character's face isn't in it. So I don't know.
And then another character that you voiced that I've recently kind of grown quite in love with, just because of the absolute outlandishness of it.
Yeah, man. Would be
the quartermaster from Camp Camp.
Yeah, baby. He's my favorite right now just because it's so ridiculous and it's so just like purely comedic that, yeah, I love doing quartermaster sessions when they call me in to do that stuff. Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun. I like to say he too, like Ospin and like Agent Washington, can't seem to die for whatever reason. I think he's like possibly an immortal. He's like been at the camp since before time started. So yeah, it's all my characters have this weird through line between them.
So you kind of almost are like this Time Lord in a sense, Doctor Who style.
Yeah. Wash and Ospin and the quartermaster are all iterations of the same, you know, weird, like, you know, time traveling Time Lord.
So let me ask you this, because I heard a theory: Quartermaster Washington and just the same person at different points or different regenerations in a life cycle.
I mean, sure, why not? You know, that theory may have even originated with me. It's probably kicking around out there. I'm not the only person who's made this observation, but there is no, as far as I know, the RT universe is not a shared universe. It's a little bit more like DC, where it's just a bunch of properties. It is not a continual cinematic universe, as far as I know. But who knows? They may retcon everything into being one gigantic story.
RVB season 17 coming up. Is there any other projects you'd like to plug or mention?
So, you know, we had this show, live action show with Rooster Teeth called Day 5, that I'm in seasons 1 and 2 of. And, you know, the more people that check it out, both on the site, and then also it's playing on cable right now. It's on on the El Rey network for those people who have El Rey, Robert Rodriguez's cable network. You know, you can check that out, because then if that, you know, if we get good numbers or whatever, you know, if it does well enough, we can possibly make a season three, which would be a lot of fun. But that's, yeah, that's about it. Everything else is all like just kind of local theater performances and stuff like that.
If you could be part of any series or franchise, past, present, or future, which would it be?
Oh, dude, I would so love to be in – well, I kind of have two answers. I would love – I'm always – I mean, the reason I got into being an actor in the first place is because of Star Wars. So if I could be in somewhere in the Star Wars universe, it'd be flipping fantastic. I would love that. But then also it's all now
awesome. –
It's wrapped up, but Adventure Time would have been cool, but I didn't make it on there.
And then finally, my own personal question I like to round out with, cake or pie?
Oh, dude, I'm a pie guy, 100%. Yeah.
Awesome.
Way into pie. people know this about me. I am a known pie man in my circle of friends. So, yeah, definitely pie.
Thank you, Shannon, so much.
Hey, take it easy.
All right, you too.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yep. Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.